we truly, truly should be thankful that we have been redeemed. There are some have not accepted the invitation and been washed in that redeeming blood. That opportunity is yours to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to be immersed in the watery grave of baptism, raised to walk a newness of life. But for those of us that were singing that song, know that we are in Christ. It is a wonderful, wonderful feeling to know in our minds that in the end, if we have been faithful, that we have a crown of life that awaits us. This morning, we are going to talk about the Bible, God's revelation to man. The Bible, God's revelation to man. As I look around the audience, there's only one face that is here on this morning that has never worshiped with us before, or maybe two. The little boy sitting back there by Keldon. I don't know if he's ever been here before or not. But there's one other. And for those that have been here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, during the gospel meetings that we have, this question that I'm about to ask is to everyone that is here. If God has ever revealed something to you, if God has ever spoken to you, you've ever communicated with Him, I want you to go back and talk to Him again. And I want you to ask Him, Father, what is the Bible? And I want you to wait around for an answer. And there are many people that we can make this statement to. They'll be quick to come and give you an answer. The answer is right here before you right now. The Bible is God's revelation to man. He doesn't speak to us apart from His Word. He speaks to us from His Word and through His Word and by His Word. And if we can understand that, we should be able to understand what God desires of each one of us. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, in the verses 32, Acts chapter 20, and the verse is 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. All those that have been set apart, all of those that have been washed in that redeeming blood, the Bible, God's revelation to man. There are some things that we're going to look at reference to this. What must man do with it? What must we do with this revelation that has come from God? The Bible is complete from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation. There's no new revelations that God is giving today to any man. I want you to remember what Galatians chapter 1 says as Paul talks to the church of Galatia there. He tells them, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. That should tell you right there, these men that said that they have been spoken to by an angel and they have been told to write this book, another testament of Jesus Christ, that they are accursed. If we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, we have it. We have the revelation that God would have us to have and to know and to be able to abide in His Word and be with Him forever. We have it before us. The problem that we have is that as men, we don't know. And the reason we don't know is because we are too lazy to open it up and read it. How many of you, have received a package in the mail? And you set that package there and you look at it and you say, I wonder what's in that box. Now, Nita gets packages in the mail and she don't have to wonder what's in it because a lot of times, Brian, I open it up. She said, did you open that? Yes. It wasn't because I thought that the name was wrong. I was just curious of what was in the box. So I opened it up. I don't always do that. But there are some people that would get a package and they would just look at it and wonder what's in it. Has your name on it? Open it up and find out. The Bible, we don't have to wonder what's in it. All we need to do is open it up and find out. What must man do with it? This revelation. This revelation will help us to know God. In Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 25, it'll help us to know God. We need to know Him. We need to know who God is, what God has done for us, and what is God waiting to do for us. Acts chapter 22, verse 17, Acts 17, verse 22 through 25. Acts 17, verse 22 through 25. As Paul is talking to these men here on Mars Hill, he says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you, or him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he give it to all life and breath and all things. One more verse. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Paul said, I'm going to let you know who he is. He is the God of all things, the creator of heavens and earth. That's God. Do you know Him? Do you see what Paul has been given? The word from God, he has been given that, and we find it here in Scripture. See, we don't need for Him to whisper in our ear to tell us who He is. We can read it for ourselves. We can get to know who God is, and as we get to know who He is, we begin to say, I would like to worship Him. Then there is no revelation in there either that is going to be given to us. It has already been given to us in His Word. Jeremiah 10:10. Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord is the true God. He is living God. The living God and an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide in His indignation. He is the living God. He is the only God that can do what He has done. No other God can do it. Those gods that men set up on shelves, they cannot do anything for you. Those gods that you have in your house, those gods that you have brought into your lives, they can do nothing for you. But the living God, the one that created us in His image, can do all things for us. And is waiting to do all things for us. If we would only trust in Him, what must man do with it? This revelation, we must open it up and we must read it. It gets us to know ourselves. A lot of us don't know who we are. We don't realize how God made us. We are confused about these things. In Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. As God created all these things, the Bible tells us He created man. A lot of people, again, do not know who they are. But the Bible, this revelation that God has given, it allows us to realize who we are. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Do you know who you are? The Bible says that He created male and female. As He created male and female, He created them different ways. He created one to have the body parts of a female and the other to have the body parts of a male. There's no confusion in that. Man has brought about this confusion. Oh, he's trying to get in touch with himself. He really don't know who he is, and he needs somebody to help him. He needs someone to teach him God's word. Or she needs someone to teach her God's word. And they need to understand that God created male and female. That's how He created us from the very beginning. That's how you come out, those individuals that have been born, that's how you came out of your mother's womb, and it is not going to change. It's always going to be the same. So we need to understand who we are. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the verse is 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the verse is 13. As we know who we are and why we were, how we were created, we need to know why we were created. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Do you know how you were created? Now you know why you were created. Why am I here? That's the question that many people go to psychiatrists and ask them. I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know why I fit in. You know what they're not going to do? They're not going to open up God's word and show you why you're here. You know why they're not going to do that? Because you're going to pay them week after week so that they can try to tell you who you are or tell you to figure it out for yourselves. The Bible says, this is the whole duty of man, is to fear God and keep His commandments. Those individuals that are confused about their sexuality, they go to psychiatrists. And again, he's not going to point to the scriptures and say, you were not created like that. You were not created to be mixed up. You were created to be a male, or you were created to be a female. We have this revelation from God to know who we are. And not only to know who we are, but we also have this revelation in order to know sin. Now, many people say, well, I did not know that was a sin. Now you tell me. Well, just because now I tell you doesn't mean now it's too late for you to change. We have this revelation to know sin. In the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 4 through 8. 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. Whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth had not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do we know what sin is? Do we understand that sin separates us away from God? Sin is something that God is displeased with. Sin is something that God is not the father of. Sin belongs to the devil. And if you are participating in sin, that's exactly who your father is, the devil. So we need to know sin. We need to know exactly what sin will cause to happen to us. In the book of Romans chapter 3, in the verse is 23. Romans chapter 3 in the verse is 23. Because as we get to know sin, we have to realize what this sin does. He says, not one, not most. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we are falling short of the glory of God, that means that God is displeased with us because we're no more in his image. We have sin. Romans 6, verse 23. Says, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin causes us to die. Sin causes us to be separated away from God. Sin causes men that have died to never be able to be in the presence of God again except for that day of judgment. And then they're going to be cast into the lake which burns with fire. Sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's death. We've already found in Scripture that it's commanded that men will die one time. It's appointed that you would die one time. But there are some that are willing to die twice. Willing to die twice. We need to examine that. And we need to understand how God wants us to live. By knowing who he is. By knowing ourselves. And by knowing what sin is. Well, if we know what sin is, this revelation has to tell us what truth is. Because he can't just say, this is sin, and leave it at that. He also wants you to know what truth is. In John chapter 8, verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. Because there are some who say, I can't know what the truth is. God has not revealed the truth to me yet. He has revealed it to us in his word. And the scripture says in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. His word is truth. That's what the Bible teaches us in John 17, 17, isn't it? What is truth? Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth, the scriptures teach us, as we look at those same passages there in John chapter 17. But I want us to know and realize that there are men today that say, I can never know the truth. I cannot understand what God wants me to do. Why not? I want you to think back when you became a child of God. Some of you have to go a little bit further. Now I want you to think about the first time that you either conducted a Bible study with someone, or you participated in a Bible study with someone, not in a class setting as we came here this morning, but in a private setting. I want you to think back. Maybe it wasn't the first one. Maybe it was the second or the third that you remember. But I want you to think about that study for a while. And I want you to ask yourself, as you think about that, several questions. As you were studying with those people, did they realize who God is? Did they realize who they were? And did you point out sin that they were committing? And did you tell them about the truth? I want you to think about that just for a little while. Because those are some things that we sometimes miss. You know, we assume that people know who God is. But, you know, no way you did not know who God is. You woke up this morning. And there's no way that you can't know who you are because you have told me what your name is. There's no way. But there are some people that are confused about who God is. And if they're confused about who God is, it's very easy for them to be confused about who they are. But sin, there should not be any confusion. You know, we know from the first time we picked up a rock when we were little kids and threw it at our neighbor's window that we were wrong. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 17, to him the knoweth to do right and do it not, to him it is sin. We knew when mom or dad snatched us up when we was in the store and we stole a piece of candy and they whipped us right there and made us take it back. We knew that we were wrong. We just didn't know that it was called sin because our parents didn't take the time to say, that's a sin and God is displeased with that. All we realized is that mom and dad was displeasing what we were doing. But the Bible says in John 8, verse 32 again, that we can know the truth and the truth shall make you free. We need to realize that and we need to accept that. Why? Because we want to know what eternity is all about. Amen. In Revelation 21, verse 8, we want to know exactly what eternity is all about. Eternity is about individuals that know right and individuals that know wrong. Why do I say it like that? I say it like that because there's two different places you can spend your eternity. One is, you know, mom, dad, I don't never want to leave home. I love it here with you. You know, mom cooks these great meals and dad, he goes out and he works hard and he brings home the money and this, that, and the other. I don't ever have to worry about what I'm going to wear. Oh, we love that type of lifestyle, don't we? Until the day mom and dad say it's time for you to pack your bags and go. And sometimes mom and dad don't even say it. They pack your bags for you and they set them outside. See, that's the difference between the two eternities. When you've been put out, then that's where you need to be. You can come back and visit. But when we look at these two different places of eternity here, it's all about knowing God, knowing self, knowing sin, knowing the truth, and knowing where we will spend our eternity if we do not do what is right. In Revelation 21, verse 8, it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there may be some of you that get tired of hearing that. But you know what? Think about your spouse for a moment. Think about how many times you tell her or him that you love them. And I want you to ask them one day, Brother Thanopoulos, Betsy, do you ever get tired of me telling you that I love you? And see what she say. Maybe you don't. So maybe I'll leave you alone. But Brother Ollie, if Sister Olivia never told you that she loved you, how would you feel? How would you feel? See, if I didn't love you, if God didn't love us, He would not have allowed the Holy Spirit to tell men to write this down in order for us to realize who would not get into heaven. So you know what that tells me? That tells me if it's in this book, we need to keep telling it. We need to keep preaching it. We need to keep putting it in the memories of people that they may know, just because you're a child of God, that if you turn back and you participate in any of these things and you die, you will not get in heaven. But let's move on. See, if we know about the bad, again, we need to know about the good. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 1, 2, and 3. John chapter 14, verse 1, 2, and 3. As Jesus says here to his disciples in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. This is Jesus. He's, you know, we've already seen in Revelation 21, verse 8, what's going to happen to those that don't believe. But here in John 14, he said, this is what's going to happen to those that do believe. So it's good to know about eternity, isn't it? Now I want you to choose. I want you to choose between a burning hell or a place where there will never be any darkness. You choose. That's what Joshua told the people in his day. You choose you this day whom you shall serve. And you know, this is how we all feel. I would much rather be in a place where there's no darkness than a place that burns with a fire that's unquenchable. But you know what's going to show what you really believe and what you really want? It's what you really do. Because there are so many people that are showing by their actions that they really don't know God. Go back and look at Romans chapter 1. They knew God, but they did not glorify Him as being God. When you say that you know who you are, do you really, again, know who you are? You know, there's a lot of times we say, I would never do that. You would never do that until you got into that situation. And then, oh, it would tell what you would never do. That sin there, that's a sin that, oh, you cannot lay that sin toward me. I'm not going to do that. I would never do that until you get caught doing it. And now, what are you going to say? A man told me one time, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear it. And kept on going where he was going, down the road towards sin. If you don't tell me, I don't have to worry about giving account for it. Yes, you do. At one time, what did God do? He winked at ignorance. But now He commanded men everywhere to repent. That's what we have to understand. That if we say that we know God, we should know what we need to do in order to come away from sin and abide in the truth. To do what? To know where we're going to spend our eternity. Maybe you're here this morning and you see the revelation that God has given. The book that's called the Bible. And you have not obeyed. That opportunity is yours. To come this morning to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And have your sins washed away in the water of your baptism. To be obedient. To continue to study the word for yourselves. And not allow some man just to tell you what you need to do. But study it for yourselves. Believe in it and obey it. And live faithful unto death, as the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and the verses 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.